love to hear the gospel in song. And indeed, our lives must center around Christ. I want to continue with somewhat that theme today. Let us turn to the first chapter of Genesis. Genesis 1. Let's begin with verse 9. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Let us continue with this short series we began a couple of weeks ago on the analogies of fruitfulness. And we saw that that was demonstrated by human offspring, as we see God making Abraham fruitful according to the Abrahamic covenant, the seed of Abraham. We see it also in the seed of the woman, and both of them are indeed Christ. Today, I want to see that fruitfulness as it is manifested by the plant life being brought forth, as we find here in the earth. As in verse 11, God said, "Let the earth bring forth the grass, the herb, and the fruit tree." It is so very interesting to understand and to realize the earth. Men have just tried to annihilate this idea of the scriptural account of God's word being true because they claim, they realize that what happened here in Genesis in these last few verses was about 6,000 years ago. And of course, scientific truth and evidence shows that the earth is much older than that. And so because that they think the earth is much older than 6,000 years, then you can't believe the word of God. But God's word doesn't teach that it's only 6,000 years old, as we have seen many, many times before. I want to bring out a couple of items this morning that show that, and then go on into concentrating on the fruitfulness of the earth as showing forth the spiritual fruitfulness of God's people. In verse 9 we read, God said, "Let the waters under the heaven." Let us understand that the waters were already here. God didn't create the waters in the 7 days creation. They were already here. Scripture says so. Same thing with the earth. Let the earth bring forth. The earth was already here. The earth was underwater. And so both of these had already been created, and how many eons of time had elapsed since that had happened? And so we find that God created the earth, and then, as we read here, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb-yielding seed, and the fruit tree." This is a wonderful analogy of the fruitfulness that God wants to produce in our lives. The earth, representative of humanity. You and I are of the earth, and God intends for us to bring forth such fruit. Jesus used the parable in Matthew 13 of the sower. The sower went forth to sow. It's this same idea. He sowed the seed in the earth. He lifts different kinds of ground and things like that. But the seed was in the earth, just exactly as he describes seed being sowed in the human heart, so to speak. In that parable, he mentioned the harvest of 30, 60, 100, three different levels. You will notice here that there are also three different levels of fruitfulness: the grass, the herb, and the fruit tree. It is the highest, or of the fruit tree, that we would want to be, but there are levels all in there, those three at that particular place. And you will notice that in verse 12, it happened, the earth brought forth all of that, and God saw that it was good. In the evening and the morning were the third day. We must be on the third day of resurrection in order to bring forth this kind of fruit in our lives, because it is the resurrection life of Christ reproduced in us that brings forth such fruitfulness in our experience. I want to go to another parable that Jesus gave in regard to this same matter. Let's go to the 15th chapter of John's Gospel. John 15. It is important to understand, as we go through these points, the earth brought forth that which was after his kind. And Jesus introduces us to the kind, so to speak, that are in this world even now and have been ever since the fall of Adam. That is, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. All men must understand that we bring forth fruit after his kind. If a person sows to the flesh, you will not get the fruit of the Spirit. Sow to the Spirit, you cannot reap the harvest of the flesh. It is imperative for us to produce fruit after his kind, and in this case, his kind is the Lord Jesus Christ. John 15, and let's begin here with verse 5. I am the vine. You are the branches. This is the analogy that Jesus sets forth for fruitfulness. Himself being the vine, we are the branches, or a part of that vine. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And the key, the thing that runs through this entire parable is this: without me you can do nothing. After his kind. We cannot produce fruit of ourselves. I don't care what people do in this world. I don't care how much money they give. I don't care how many humanitarian things they're involved in. Fruit only comes from Jesus. If men are not operating out of this new creation life that comes from the vine, that's not fruit insofar as God is concerned. And so fruit only comes from Christ. Without me, you can do nothing. There are undoubtedly a great number of things that can be said that the requirements for bearing fruit that are illustrated by this analogy of the farmer or the husbandman, as we will see here in just a moment. Let us first understand, once again, that which comes forth of the earth, that is, out of this human vessel that is made of the dust of the earth. And so the first thing we must understand, once again, all fruit centers around Christ. Back up to verse 1. I am the true vine. Does that not indicate there may be some falsity around? Of course it does. There are all sorts of deceptive things that men would attribute fruitfulness to, but it simply is not true. The only way we will be fruitful is by being in Christ, as we're going to see here presently. And so the first element, as I said, there are many of these things that can be attributed to requirements that would bring forth fruit. I only want to indicate five of them today. And the first one is right here in verse 1, I am the true vine. There is no way that we can bear fruit after His kind, that is, that which is spiritual, without the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And that's the only way we will ever produce spiritual fruit, is for that new life of Christ to be implanted within us. And of course, that is done at the new birth. Notice the second element. My Father is the husbandman. When God created man and He put him in His beautiful garden called Eden, He appointed Adam as the caretaker. He was to dress it and he was to keep it. But we notice here that God has put Himself in charge of this one. He is the husbandman. He is the one that is going to oversee the fruitfulness in our lives. Then the third element is that of relationship. Verse 2, every branch in me. We have seen it over and over already. There will be no fruit in our lives without Christ. And so it's every branch in me. This is key to this parable. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And so being in the vine, in Christ, is absolutely key to fruitfulness. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. I want to notice this little word, abide, before we go on. Again, we must understand the only reason any person is in the vine is because God puts them there. Only God can do that. And so He does it, as noted, by virtue of the new birth. But here we find we are to abide. And that little word abide is important. It means to stay, that is, in a given place. It means to continue. It means to dwell, to endure. And endure, indeed, is a good word. It means to remain. Abiding signifies something that is constant. Abiding in the vine. And it means that there is a constant drawing of life and sustenance from the vine. Skip down to verse 4. We'll read a little bit more commentary on abiding in Christ. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. This little word abide signifies the fact that there is an interaction between the vine and the branch, and it is something that must be constant. We must understand this truth in order to understand what happens here in just a little bit. And so we find out that indeed, there, he, as he says here, we must abide. And what does that mean? Like you can choose to get yourself out of the vine, as sometimes people seem to think. This brings us to the fourth element, the work of the husbandman. You will notice here in verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. I want to concentrate just a little bit on the husbandman here, because this is the work that he is doing. Now, every farmer knows that there is much more to farming than these two things, yet they are singled out. Every farmer knows that you have to have, first of all, good, fertile soil. Jesus referred to it in Matthew 13 as good ground, and there are different types of ground as are brought out there. We find out that every farmer knows you must have the water in order to grow. But as we read through the scripture, God said to Israel, I will give you rain in due season. And that's imperative. We've seen over the past few years, even here in our own area, where that there's been rain at the wrong time. There have been crops that have been really nice and beautiful, yet the farmer couldn't get in the field because of the rain, and sometimes the fruit just rots on the vine. That's not a good thing. Rain in due season is absolutely imperative, and only God knows when that is, as far as our lives are concerned. Another good one, as far as good ground, it has to be broken up. Scripture says it this way, for those who have at one time been fruitful, and then Scripture says, break up your fallow ground. It means that which was fruitful at once, but they just let it go. What it mean? It has to be broken up. We've seen that before. That ground has to be broken in order to receive the seed. And then, of course, the light of the sun is absolutely imperative for a good crop. All of these things are necessary for fruitfulness, but as I say, Jesus only concentrated on two items, and I thought that was rather interesting. The first item, if it bears not fruit, he takes it away. Second item, every branch that bears fruit, he purges it. So taking away and purging, two different things that are considered in this fruit bearing. Let's consider the first one. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. There are those who insist that when he takes it away, that means he's removed and sent to hell. Let us understand the teaching here in this parable is not life and death. It's fruit bearing or not fruit bearing. Those two, there's nothing mentioned about death whatsoever. But if we go down to verse 6, we have a little more commentary. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire. You will notice that the branch, it's still a branch. And we find out that if he abide not in me, This is the key. We had the definition of that. To abide in the branch really is a state of constancy. It is this interaction. He abides in us, we abide in him. It is a way of life and not something that is sporadic. We've all seen people in our lives that can really get spiritual in a certain time of need, and once that is over, they go right back to their ways. That's not abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ means abiding in constant fellowship with him. That's what we're talking about. When he takes him away, he is actually taken away from fellowship. He is isolated. Yes, there are times I am absolutely certain God has seen in his infinite mercy and in his infinite grace, a person yielded to him all he's going to do, and he simply takes him home physically. He takes him home to glory. And as someone pointed out to me one time, well, if someone is taken that way, it means they don't have to go through the tribulation. What an expression of the grace of God. He takes him away. So either one of these apply here. But I want to notice the rest of this verse. He's cast forth as a branch. He's withered. We understand that. If a Christian is not getting his sustenance from the vine, he will wither. Doesn't mean, again, that he's cast into hell, but he is drying up. And he is not producing fruit to God or to anyone else. He is withered. Then we read this. And men gather them and cast them into the fire. Men, not God. This is such a tremendous illustration of what happens in our days, what we have seen happen in our day. How many times have we heard of Christians boasting of their Christianity, boasting of this life and of being a Christian before God, but their conduct and their life did not match up with it. There was not real fruit manifest. And who pointed it out? You claim to be a Christian, you're the biggest hypocrite I ever saw. And they lay them on the fire of condemnation. Men gather them together and they are burned, not God. And so we find out that men are not, when they're taken away, as we find here, they're not cast into the fires of hell, as some like to indicate. They are rather put on the sideline and indeed perhaps treated as a hypocrite. Then we come to the second portion of the husbandman's job. Those that bear fruit, he purges. The word purge means to cut or to prune. And we have seen this many times in Scripture as the flesh has to be cut away, it has to be pruned. But this little word purge also means this. It means to cleanse. And this is apparently the one that he is talking about here, because in verse 3, verse 2 we read, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean. It's the same word. You are cleaned or you are purged through the word that I have spoken unto you. We have seen it again and again and again. There will be no fruitfulness in our lives without the word of God, and the word accomplishes so many different purposes as we have seen. The light is the light of the word. The water is the water of the word. The cleansing is of the word of God. So many things. The seed is the word of God. There's no fruit without God's word. That is why it behooves us to be ever attentive and ever receptive to the word of God, indeed to all of the word of God. Verse 7. If you abide in me, and what? My words abide in you. This is the purging he's talking about. This is the cleansing. It is because of God's word. If you abide in me and my words abide in me, in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Then we come to this wonderful verse. Verse 8. Herein. Herein points back to verse 7. And there are two wonderful things that are brought out here. They are, first, if you abide in me. Number 2, my words abide in you. Herein is my Father glorified. And for what purpose? That you might bear much fruit. Abiding in Christ and heeding, taking in the marvels of his word, this is what is going to make us fruitful in our own experience. The result, as we see here, bear much fruit. We have bemoaned it over and over and over again. What is lacking in the overall church is the full proclamation of the Word of God. Men are not concentrating on that. But we can concentrate on it in our own experience. That's the only one we have to account for is me. I'm the only one that will be responsible for receiving the word that God has for me, regardless of what anyone else may or may not do. Fruitfulness in our lives is directly proportional to the word of God which we take into our being. And so this is why we must concentrate on the words that I speak, my words, that they would abide in you. This brings us to the fifth element of fruit bearing, and that is the atmosphere. Verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The atmosphere for fruitfulness is divine love. We have seen it many times before. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, I know that Paul brings it out in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. There is a ninefold evidence or manifestation of love. But the fruit of the Spirit in one word is love. And there are so many different applications. Read 1 Corinthians 13. We find about 16 points concerning divine love. But all of that is the fruit of the Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit literally thrives on divine love. Love begets love. Let's turn to the fourth chapter of Ephesians for somewhat of a summation of a number of these points that we have made this morning. Ephesians 4, very familiar verses. Let's go down to verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. And in all things includes the fruit of the Spirit. If we want to grow in fruit, we must do it according to this pattern of divine love. Speaking the truth in love. I knew a certain preacher some years ago who was accused by his congregation. And they said to him, "Now we know that everything you've said is true. We cannot find one fault, one violation in the Word of God. It's all true." But we don't have to listen to you because you didn't speak in love. Let every member of the body of Christ, let all men understand, truth is truth no matter where you find it and no matter who gives it out. And anytime we hear truth, we are responsible for it. We cannot say, I didn't know. We are responsible for truth, no matter where it comes from or how it is spoken. But I want to notice a very important point here, because the scripture is very plain. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him. It's the speaker who grows. This is why we're not talking about the preacher here. He's included. But every member of the body of Christ better be speaking the truth in love. As each of us, members of the body, speak truth in love, we grow. We produce fruit, spiritual fruit. This is what God wants. He wants an atmosphere of love where everyone produces the fullness of fruit. That we produce as the fruit tree, that we indeed are hundredfold, whichever way you want to express it, the fullness of fruit is to be produced in our lives. And so, as Jesus said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, a result of speaking truth in love. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head. Just another way of saying, abide in the vine. Draw from the vine. Verse 16. From whom? That is Christ, the vine, the whole body, fitly joined together, compacted together. And then notice this. By that which every joint supplieth. We have said it over and over and over again. There are no useless members in the body of Christ. I don't care how worthless and useless you might feel at some time. Every member of the body is to produce for the other members of the body. Who cares how much it is? It's just that it's done, that we function in the place where God placed us. And when we do that, I guarantee you, we will get the greatest reward. God didn't call me to do what somebody else does. He called me to do what he wants me to do. And when I function in that place, when I produce that joint that God wants to produce, that's all I can do. That's all God expects. And that's all that's necessary. And so we read, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, it makes increase of the body unto the edifying of the body. And so today, let us take it to our own hearts to bring forth after his kind the fruit of the Spirit, which comes forth only from Christ, the vine, as we faithfully abide in him.